Regular scheduled meeting of Sandwin County Public Hospital District Number One. Today's date is August 28th, 2019. And the time is exactly 2 p.m. and 12 seconds. We're going to have, prior to the regular scheduled meeting per se, a work session that is timed between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. The course of this work session will be to basically get the board up to speed in terms of the current status of the potential merger between Sandwin County Fire District 3 and Sandwin Island EMS. Prior to the commencement of the work session, we have today's agenda approval, and I understand there is an addition to that.
That's for the official meeting, not this one, right?
Yeah, but this is the rank order of the agenda. We need to sit by that.
Oh, okay.
So, we split out today's agenda from the regular consent agenda, which follows the work session. So
I'd like to amend the agenda to include an announcement with regard to Sandwin Island Physical Therapy's closing.
It's actually Islanders Physical Therapy and Rehab.
So, thank you. We'll amend that amendment.
Yeah, Susie wouldn't like that if you're shutting her down.
But that's right.
I second that amendment. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Agenda is as amended, and please remind me, Nathan, to bring that up under new business.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's start the work session and understand that Fire District 3 Chief Norman Collins and Sandwin Island EMS Chief Carl Kutzing would like to address the board and give us an update. So who would like to be first?
I guess I can kick it off a little bit. Actually, the work session is really fortuitous. As we've been meeting as a steering committee, we've been doing a lot of work. We kind of realized that we're at seven full committee meetings and probably another dozen or so subcommittee meetings that have occurred since the steering committee got started. What seems to be the term du jour is that we've been taking a lot of baby steps. There were a lot of varied parts and moving puzzle pieces that we try to get into alignment and get moving. And I think the committee feels that we've kind of hit our stride now. We're not taking baby steps anymore. We're moving along. And what we kind of thought in terms of timing is it's time for some outreach. To talk to folks about and let them know where we've come from, what was the inception of this thing, how it got started, the problems that we're working on, where we are right now, and what the goals are for the future moving forward. So to that effect, we started putting together some lists of people. We know we wanted to talk to you all as the elected officials. We had kind of hoped to do that individually, but we started running out of time. I know we talked with Dr. Edwards, kind of privately. We talked with both Commissioner German and Commissioner Olson, kind of a one-on-one session. We also wanted to reach out to all of you, of course, but this kind of helps out because now we've got you all here as a captive audience. We also figured that it's time to talk to the county council. So we've spoken with Bill Watson, who's one of our elected officials at the county. And so that's kind of what spurred this, the idea behind this meeting. So really how we've been working this is we've kind of used the Citizens Advisory Group as our roadmap. We realized that they spent a lot of time, a year's worth of work to kind of come up with some recommendations and some processes. So as we started to sit down and formulate, we kind of used that as a roadmap and kind of gave ourselves some buckets to deal with. Of those buckets, we realized we had to talk about the annexation issues, whether that pertained to town or whether that pertained to the outer islands and how we wanted to see what this beast was in the end. We realized that we needed to figure out who's going to be the governing body. What's that configuration going to look like? How do we license this entity? We also decided that we wanted to figure out the operations, the nuts and bolts of that. and realize that we need also answer questions about levies. How are we going to fund it? So we started to break those all out and came up with a Gantt chart, and I think Nathan has provided that to you all in this packet. And a Gantt chart is basically, it's a critical pathways chart. It kind of shows timings and how we want to move forward. We realized that given the constraints of the CAG, they basically kind of gave us a deadline. They wanted to see this implementation happen within 2 years. So to that effect, in order to get funding for 2021, we had to have an election in 2020 so that those funding streams and those district boundaries were all kind of in place by that time, so we knew what this thing was going to look like. So we have to start working backwards. To get that 2021 funding, the election had to be in 2020. We decided that the most opportune time to go out to the public for electoral process was in April of 2020. So that then precludes that to get that on the ballot, we've got to have 90 days. So that's February, which then means we need to start educating and outreach. So to meet with all the interested parties, all the electeds, all the kind of high-profile people in the community, as well as homeowners associations. Nathan and Chuck, who's also Chuck Daldorf, who was the chair of the CAG, also graciously acquiesced or requests, I guess it were kind of requests, to be part of the communications process with Nathan. And between Chuck and Nathan, they put together lists of all the homeowners associations. They figured out who the property owners are on the Outer Islands. They figured out who the voting members are on the Outer Islands. So we know about the service organization. So these are all kind of target audiences for us. We want to get the word out. So and where we are in the process right now is education. We've kind of taken a look and tried to figure out what our visions are, where we see potential benefits for this integration, and put them together. And we've targeted three specific audiences. The town itself, because that's one thing that we've got to get figured out. The existing fire district, and then those outer islands that are currently served by the hospital district, but not served by the fire district. So those are our three targets. And we're at the process right now where we've also been involved with legal counsel. We've been asking their advice now that we've got a process in place and kind of a plan in place, asking them, are we on the right track? Do we need to be doing, you know, this? Are there things that we're missing? So we've started to tap into that. We've been in contact with Rich Davis, who's legal counsel here for us at the hospital district, also with Joe Quinn, who's legal counsel for the Hutt Fire District. We've talked to other agencies and chiefs who've been involved in similar processes through that, and have been kind of told, well, we're on the right pathway, we're looking at the right things, and made suggestions as to what our next steps are. And one of those is to start exploring what does administration look like? Should we be looking at a formalized structure for administration with a clear chain of command, somebody in charge, and now we start working toward the nuts and bolts of the operations. So that's kind of where we are right now. We've been looking at those. We asked our legal counsel to draft to create a draft of an intergovernmental agreement, which would kind of consolidate the leadership and the administration only, not the taking the whole operation and making it a big giant pass-through that was discussed by the CAG. It's a different type of interlocal or intergovernmental agreement. It's just dealing with the leadership, so for the administration, so we can start looking at what operations are. We've also reached out in our process to the associations, the boots on the ground. Our EMT association, I've met with them twice, the executive board. Chief Collins has met with the firefighters, and we've met with both of those executive boards together once before, and realized that as far as the boots on the ground go, they're they're all kind of, you know, in concept this looks good, but how is it going to affect me? So we realized that our focus in the last 6 months, 5 months plus, that we've been looking at a lot of the external stuff. We wanted to figure out all those pieces that affect from the outside, and now it's time for us to turn inward and start providing the information that they need so that they feel comfortable, they can get behind it, support it, or not, as the case may be. But our feelings are that the general overview of the boots on the ground is that, yeah, they think this is a good idea. But with a little bit of trepidation in that, how's it going to affect what is my job going to look like? And rightfully so. So what we started doing is we realized our next steps are to come up with some fact sheets so that we can lay all this stuff out, because our EMTs and our firefighters are the ones that are out there in the public. They're the ones who people are going to stop in the grocery store. They're the ones that are going to be asked the question. And they need to at least know what's going on, at the very least, and know some of the specifics. So we're putting together those fact sheets. We're going to work on some frequently asked questions that they may see so that they can either take the bull by the horns and answer those questions or redirect them to the people who have the answers. So that's kind of where we are in the process right now. What am I missing?
I would only anchor in a couple things that Chief Kuntzman said and kind of guide some of this along. So looking back, CAG, that took approximately a year process, delivered their report, as you know, on April 2nd. Their absolute recommendations from a citizen advisory perspective, giving back to the governances, said exactly what Carl did. And you will see the timelines illustrated in the Gantt, as well as this other chart that you have in front of you that just kind of talks rough timelines. And you'll see the caveats on them that these are all works in process. These are initial versions of timelines and kind of some targets. What we did at the initial steering committee meeting, which you also know, following the delivery of the CAG report, both commissions took action and directed Chief Kuntzman, myself, Commissioner Smith, and Commissioner Cardinale, with support of Nathan, and having town Duncan Wilson involved in that steering committee, to work forward and to try to look through from a governance standpoint and a best practices standpoint how you implement the seven recommendations, and digging a little deeper as to what's legal, what's not, and how do we actually bring our people together. So at this point, I think it's probably pretty important if you were to pull out the one that says outreach subcommittee meeting, because this really kind of focuses the communication and the goals. So when we look at all this, the end intent is how do we provide emergency services with the quality people that we have on both the EMS side and the fire side most efficiently and cost effectively to the community. And so some of the things that we all agreed to as foundational agreements through the steering committee was first a timeline, and we started with the end in mind. So if we said that CAG recommended no more than 2 years, but if you recall the dialogue that they gave, they said realistically it should be about a year and a half. So they said no more than 2 years, integrate the groups. So we started with that, talked with Duncan. The annexation of the town was one of the components that we wanted to talk about, because it has impact into how the town and the community respond and fund things. Now, I think we would be remiss without stating and throwing on the table that I think in some way, and I had some dialogue with Chair of CAG, that we, as we work through this, have conflated a couple key points. One is the annexation, the footprint of the districts, whether it's us or the hospital, because initially it was shrink the hospital district to come in line with what the fire district had, as you recall. Through further discussion and support of the fire commission, we said, no, it would serve the public better if we increase the size. So that's where we're going down, and you will see in one of the outreaches that has the fire boat with the water squirting on the other boat. This is information that's going to be going out in a trifold to the outer island, so they understand what's in it for them, where were we coming from, and how does it impact them from a service level standpoint. So we have integration from an annexation standpoint. The thing that is becoming conflated is annexation and service delivery, right? We can annex, we should annex both town and Outer Islands to maintain the level of service, but realistically, that doesn't say how we deliver emergency services from a fire and EMS perspective. We need to deal with both. It's tied. Citizens have impact and input on both of those, but we need to look at from an integration standpoint, how do we deliver service? So that ties into where Carl was talking about, how do we make sure that the people inside, and you already know that we have people that are EMS providers as well as fire providers, and they intermix. So how do we bring these groups together? And I think that even in this short 6 months or so since CAG gave the recommendations and you guys all directed us to put this steering committee together, we've already seen some very positive interactions at the boots on the ground level. I was visiting with Pam here a little earlier, and she, who is always there, sits in the back, watches interactions, drills and otherwise. Carl and I are watching as things are happening at drills and on incidents. The members are really stepping forward and putting this together. They're positive. Some of the neat, 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 for lack of a term, and I don't know how you're going to write neat, neat, neat as you're taking notes, but you, that's reduced. They're working together. We're hearing even last night's traffic accident call. They're talking on the same radio frequency. They're communicating in a structured plan and a structured group, which is hugely positive, and that's the direction we want to go. So as we put together the outreach, our summaries of what we all agreed to is that for the public, integration of EMS and fire will provide these three key points. Improve services when it comes to prevention, response, and follow-up. Improve sustainability financially, long-term planning with a more comprehensive cover. And then improve collaboration, reducing the redundancy in cost, training, and streamlining of our organizations. Those are those key points for the external partners that we have. Internally, which is as important, if not more so, is how do we make sure that the people that respond can do the jobs and are supported in doing so. So internally for the staff, improve service, so opportunities. How does the shifting work? How does training work? One clear leadership path, so we don't have the fracture. One thing that we did early on is we changed the mindset of having two separate silos, one being fire, one being EMS, to we are one emergency organization delivering service to our community as best as we possibly can. It's not what fire needs are, it's not what EMS's needs are, it's what are the community needs from an emergency response standpoint. So following through with that, internally improve sustainability. With a unified organization, unified work environment, how do we make sure that we maintain the services and the vehicles and the equipment that we have? How do we get people to work together and give them job security? Because now they don't have to say, well, do I need to work for EMS? Do I need to work for fire? No, you work for one emergency services organization delivering service to the community. And finally, we give improved collaboration, a common vision, a common set of values, and a common set of goals in how we deliver the service to the community. So I wanted to make sure that you knew that, and that was some of our foundational pieces as we come together for integration.
This outreach also kind of supports both Norman and my goal for what this is about. Number one is we need to serve our community. That's what we signed up for. That's our number one priority. How best to serve the community. And number two is, how do we take care of the people who provide that service? If we keep those two things in clear focus, then everything else can fall into place. We want to be, you know, financially sound. We want to make sure that we're not wasting taxpayer money. We want to do all those things. We want to provide a good staffing model. We want to provide the right types of equipment. But if we keep, you know, making sure that we serve the community and we take care of the people who provide that service, I think we're golden.
So going down that road, if we look at, and so I guess one part to kind of digress for just a moment. while we use CAG as our foundation, because they did a great amount of work and set the foundation in play, we also knew that there were going to be answers and questions that you all had as we looked through from a governance standpoint, that they said, here's some recommendations, here's some things that we explored, what do you think is best? And so that's why, as you will see, our key points on the Gantt chart are based on those recommendations, and we explore deeper. So what I want to do now is kind of share with some other people that were part of the workload, and I'd look to Rebecca since Frank decided to still be traveling. When it comes to the annexation of the Outer Islands, what does that mean? What dialogues did we have around that from a steering committee perspective? How did we land that we said, let's bring the Outer Islands in, as opposed to shrinking that down and then delivering and saying, hey, I don't think we can provide that level of service of EMS or fire, that doesn't make sense, we're going to shrink. We say grow, and then how do we go about that? How do they come in? And if there's any part of this presentation that any of you as commissioners already know or don't want the information, please cut us off. We wanted to try to give you a comprehensive overview of where we are, what we're doing, and how we're moving forward in this work session, if that works for you, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
Rebecca.
So Outer Islands, there are a billion moving parts to the Outer Islands issue. And the Outer Islands were, for one thing, EMS's district and their boundary district is larger than fire's. An entire sub-part of that is we had a terrible time finding what the original boundaries were and when they were actually set. And they were actually set when the original board was put into effect. So it was, what, 1989, is that right? But, of course, it wasn't in any easily reachable place that you could pull out. We finally found that. So we have that. It didn't make sense from the standpoint of cutting anybody out because for two reasons. One, you'd have to if you combine, you'd have to redo the entire district boundaries, which is a huge issue and a lot of cost to the community. Two, there are the islands that there are only three populated islands that we're talking three populated islands or islands that we're talking about. The rest of them are DNR, Wildland Refuge, and
National Park, and the resource.
Right. So and Conservancy, I think.
And there's one other island that's a single parcel.
Single parcel. So then it became, well, don't we kind of already cover those anyway? So if there's a fire on Goose Island, which was right outside my window, 3 years ago or 1 year ago or whatever it was, fire came. It's DNR land. They cover it after a certain period of time anyway. So it's like, well, why wouldn't we just bring that in? So it made sense. It would also be, it would align both EMS and fire. So that was one of the major things. Then we had to look at how to annex them in. That's the whole conversation that these two gentlemen just had about going out and talking to people. In fact, they're going to go out on Saturday again. They've been to Stewart Island already. They're going to go out again and talk to the people on Stewart Island who are very excited to be included in this. So we talked about how we would approach that. That's where the messaging and the trifold came from, what you would get, what things would change for you, those kinds of issues. So we're meeting on Stewart Island and probably Henry Island. The three islands are Stewart, Henry, and John's. And then there's the issue of how many actual voters, resident voters, do we have who will be voting on this versus how many owners of properties? So we have 500 property owners, and 51 of those are registered voters here in the islands. So then you look at that and say, we could have gone and said, okay, we're only going to focus our efforts on these 51 voters because that's who's going to vote to annex or not annex. And I think the two chiefs and the steering committee in general decided, no, we want everybody to be involved in this, even if they can't vote. They need to know what they're getting. They need to know what we're doing. They need to realize that, you know, we're going to be coming to the islands and what we're going to do and what we're going to give them. So the idea is to reach out to all of them, which is why Nathan and Chuck have been spending a lot of time trying to find out who to reach out to. So that all went on. This all took, 15, 20 minutes. And So I think that's the outer island. Oh, and then the petition itself. So then we had all the legal issues as to what the petition is, how to do it, how we have to do it. Part of that was the discussion with the attorney. Turns out that I won't go into all the details about what the other options are, but the option is you have a petition which is written by the fire department saying you want to, you know, you want to annex in basically, and here's the situation. Then the people on the islands, the registered voters, can vote to do that or not. If we get 15% of the voters, then we have those accepted by the auditor or approved by the auditor as registered voters, and then it goes to the fire department, I think, to the fire commissioners to
approve.
County
council first.
County council first, and then the fire commissioners. And in the meantime, it has to go through Randy Gaylord.
Yeah.
I don't know what his title is, Randy.
I think you're an attorney.
Thank you. It goes to him, and then it goes on the ballot. So that's that process. If we get 60% of the voters, everything, all that I just said, is eliminated with the exception of being approved by the auditor. They have to approve the signatures, and it has to go to the fire commissioner to say, yes, we want these people to be annexed into our area. So that's one of the advantages of going out to all these islands and saying, hey, here's, you know, here's the thing. You want it. This is pretty exciting for them, I think. Right now they're excited. So I think that's kind of where we are right now, going to Stewart.
So I think the key points, what Commissioner Smith said, was we don't want to only include the voters, because this impacts everyone, that are property owners on that particular islands or any of the islands. So therefore, the outreach communication is going to go to everyone. Learning, not that we would have done this, but watching what transpired on Decatur when they wanted to form a junior taxing district, they did not effectively communicate with enough of the non-voters that are owners or residents on the island. And that came back to bite them, honestly. So we had never had that as part of our planned approach anyway. But we want to make sure that we reach out and talk to everyone, share information. That's why this is only one component of the communication plan, which I'd like to turn it over to either Nathan or Chuck to kind of describe what is the comprehensive approach from a communication standpoint, because it's not just hospital district, it's not just fire district meetings, it's not just these trifold handouts. What is the comprehensive communication plan that we have, at least at this point in time?
Chuck's pointing to me, so I guess I'll say something and then Chuck can correct me. Chuck and I worked really hard on this, and in collaboration with the chiefs and with the steering committee. I think Chief Kutzing covered some of it already. He was talking about the different people that we need to reach out to. There's all these different components. You know, you've got to include all the decision makers, and the list of decision makers is a page long. If you were talking all these different pieces, you got annexation portions, and then you've got the boards themselves, and so, you know, there's that. And then, of course, there's the public component, and Carl mentioned the HOAs, homeowners associations, and all of that sort of thing. There's also a list of people that we've generated of, you might call it, I don't know, need to know. You know, people who think about these things and talk about them, and who will want to sit down and go over the project with, for instance, members of the press, and make sure they understand what the project is. And then, of course, there's the voters themselves, and that's the most important component. People who are receiving delivery of services and paying for them. We do have, you know, there's a few different ways, you know, the means by which we reach all these people. Of course, there's the trifolds. You know, we've got one for the outer islands, namely Stewart, Henry, and Johns. We've got one for the town, and that's mostly in conjunction with Duncan, or the town administrator. And then, of course, we've got one for the residents of the current fire district. And that one's quite short because, honestly, it's really just not a big thing for them. I mean, it's their tax rates won't change. Service delivery won't change. It's just not as hard to explain. So anyway, there's these three different components. And then also there's a process of press releases, a strategic press plan where we'll try to explain this project to the public. Basically, what we want to do is we want to give people as much information as they want. Some people want a lot, some people want a little. And then the last component of this, but by no means the least important, is including staff and volunteers and making sure they understand the project. So there'll be letters, there's these trifolds, there'll be a question and answer, and of course there'll be simply meeting with people, which in my experience is always the best way to do things, but it's also very time consuming. So Chuck, do you have anything you want to add?
I think that was it. I mean, there's a real tough balance in making sure that you're trying to do the best communication you can and try to touch everybody. We realize that there's concentric rings on our island and in our little world, but you know, we'd rather try to touch everybody than miss people in this process. And we realize that communications is a critical component of educating and trying to prepare people for what you're trying to do and the decision that you're going to be making.